The Green Room with Orla Barry on News Talk.
Well, making a career as an actor or indeed in the arts is challenging enough. Making a career in the arts and being a mum presents a whole new set of challenges. Mothers Artists Makers, a networking and activist group, represents mothers who, as the name suggests, are trying to make a living in the arts. Well, Aveen Finnegan this week met with the group's founder and some of its members.
Where are the disappeared women of the arts? At the school gates now. Words written on a placard by theatre director Tara Derrington, inspired by the Waking the Feminist movement. Becoming a parent is a wonderful but seismic shift in any person's life. But the isolation of the primary carer from the other creatives was the common ground these women all stood on. They came together to form the group Mothers Artists Makers. I'm in the DLR Mill Theatre Dundrum, where I've joined some of the members of the group just for a little chat this morning. Regan O'Brien, Kathleen Warner-Yates and founder member Tara Derrington. So you're very welcome here this morning, guys. It's all set up for rehearsals. I know they're starting rehearsals this morning of Playboy the Western World and the Round, so we're very privileged to be sitting in the auditorium. So Tara, first of all, could you tell us a little bit about the movement?
Sure. MAM, Mothers Artists Makers, is a movement of women in the arts and the creative industries who found that when they had children, their careers either came to an abrupt halt or suffered significant setbacks. We have come together to create a support network for each other, to campaign for family-friendly policy and practice in the arts, and to create artistic opportunities to re-engage with our work and hopefully nurture pathways back to our practice.
The really nice thing about meeting the three of you women this morning is that you're all so different in terms of the work you do. And I suppose for those listeners out there who don't work in the arts and maybe are thinking, well, I don't understand why this is any different to any other profession. Maybe could you talk us through, first of all, Tara, what it's like for time commitment-wise, I suppose, when you're going through a production as a director?
So I suppose the hours are the biggest problem when it comes to childcare, in that the work is sporadic. It's not 9 to 5. It doesn't all come in one go. So as a director, most productions in theatre these days are initiated by writers and directors, and the first process in that is securing funding. So actually finding the money to develop an idea can take a year in terms of securing money and meeting with supporters and co-partners and getting a team on board together. And that can happen at all different times. And then finding headspace to work. Virginia Woolf said, you know, no art is created without having a room of one's own. So if you don't have that room of one's own, which, let's face it, as parents, we so often don't, that can be very challenging. So time and headspace. Then if you have secured the money, let's look at the hours that one has to work as a director. First of all, you might typically go into a period of 4 weeks rehearsals. That could be 9 to 5. Then after that, so that would fit in with normal childcare, although it will only be for a short period of time. So, yeah.
And your child would have to be on a waiting list for a creche or that kind of thing.
Exactly. Then you might go into a period of technical rehearsals, which would be from morning until night, very long hours. And after that, you have the period of performance, which is all in the evening. So you've got all these different hours at different times. And really what I found was that the only type of childcare that's available that would suit me was a live-in nanny. Yeah. And that's when you look at the fact that the average arts worker in Ireland earns £10,000 per annum, that's just not feasible on those kind of wages.
So aside from the directing side of things, Regan, I know you do a really varied type of movement and a really expressive and interesting work, very different to other people. And I suppose with you as well, you have to think about an aesthetic side of things as well. So maybe when you were looking down the barrel of motherhood, was that something that maybe worried you as well, you know, when you were coming into your work as an actress?
Yeah, I worked until I was 8 months pregnant. I was composing and creating my own performance work in collaboration with other artists. I work transdisciplinarily.
Yes, you know.
So I work with visual artists and musicians and scientists, and it's always socially engaged. So I'm always seeing how my artwork can situate itself in a broader social context, and trying very hard to reach out and what are the tentacles that I send out into the world and what feeds back into the artwork through that. So motherhood obviously was first and foremost and primary in what I was doing. Lua was there in the last show I did.
And Lua's here today with us as well.
Here today.
He's very good.
And has been the subject of a lot of the work since,
yeah,
you know.
It's a great inspiration.
Yeah, you know, I'm very interested in the value of mothering, the social value of motherhood and mothering, and how we think about it when we think about economy and politics and relating to one another in the world. And where is mothering within all of that? So that is very much the work that I'm interested in doing now, the valuing and revaluing of the skills acquired during motherhood and parenting in general, and how those values are perceived socially, if they are or if they're not. And what would the world be like if they were? And in terms of MAM, I'm very interested in the whole support networking strand that we have created for each other. It's a place where we can come and we can talk about the things that we don't get to speak about socially. Normally, nobody tells you how hard parenting is. Nobody tells you how difficult it is to mother as an artist. It's very hard to bring it up.
You mentioned there the social, I suppose, networking that goes on in the theatre world. And it's a huge part of it. I suppose you work with somebody and then you move on, and that connection that you've made will get you another job, or it'll maybe create some different work later on. I know in your line of work, Kathleen, it's very varied as well. Like, I know you've got a few different hats as a director and an actor, and then as well as running a business, I suppose, in a drama school. How have you found that, I suppose, these connections have been hindered in some ways, but I suppose MAM has opened up a few doors for you?
Absolutely. Plus, I had changed countries, and so I had worked as an actor, director, writer in New York and the United States, and then moved here and acquired a step family. So what happened was, it's like I stepped off of a cliff and disappeared, right?
Into a black hole.
Into a black hole. A joyful black hole. I was grateful to have a big family instantly. All the joys with that, but also I was quite isolated. I lost my practice completely. I did every sort of fill-in day job you could, and then slowly worked my way back to my practice. Now, I went instantly as a drama teacher part-time, but those jobs for a parent, they tend to be 2 hours, 3 hours, so you're spending an hour to get there. It's all very piecemeal work. Now, I was able to alternate it with my husband's schedule at the time, but then my practice as an artist was completely gone. And I found that after as the children got older, I slowly began to come back to my own personal practice, in addition to teaching acting, that I could do my own work, acting, writing, and directing, which was a very, very, very slow path. So when I got someone invited me on Facebook to join MAM, and I was never really, I never thought of myself as a feminist, but I really found an instant connection with the core purpose of this organization. And in the Pathways Back to Practice, we created Observe the Sons of Ulster under the direction of Tara Darrington and Sarah Kinlan. A bunch of mothers with their children came together to create and devise a theatre piece that was sort of inspired by Observe the Sons of Ulster, which was on the Abbey stage at the time. And this was the first time I'd ever experienced sort of creating a theatre piece with children present in the process. And then children eventually on stage, breastfeeding mother on stage, Hillary, and children present in the production on the Abbey stage, and it was
amazing.
Kind of phenomenal. I found that I had found my network.
I heard as well, Tara, you spoke before about maybe bringing this initiative into other businesses and other areas, and why not? You know, I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely, and the world is changing. Kathleen and Regan and I were talking earlier about how the way corporations, businesses run now, you know, are addressing different ways of working, you know, standing up to work, not sitting behind a desk. And this is, I think, just part of a process that is going to take place where we recognise that, you know, a huge number of the world's employees have families and that is a priority for them as well as their working life. So how can we facilitate both? And not hiding the children is a huge part of that. So the culture of silence around parenting has to end. And just the simple, one simple way that could change that is employers asking their employees once they have contracted to work with them, do you have any caring responsibilities and is there any way we could assist you in managing both? To take away that silence and the fear that I think particularly women have of having to cover up for fear that they might be seen as, unreliable.
And for anybody who's just tuned in, I'm just speaking to Regan, Tara and Kathleen here in the DLR Mill Theatre Dundrum about their network, which is called Mothers, Artists and Makers. This is the question I suppose people will be wondering at home. I know I was wondering about it. Men, are we including them at all in this?
We very much hope so. Nothing is going to change without them. Yeah. And indeed, you could say that although there are much fewer men who are primary carers than there are women, that they suffer more in terms of isolation than women because they don't necessarily have networks to reach out to. And that has been actually quite interesting. When we started, because we recognised that there was a real lack of confidence often in our members from periods of parenting alone in the home, that we wanted to create a space which was open for women to work with and build up their confidences again. What we really hoped that we could do was to work in conjunction with a brother organisation of parenting fathers. And we put out that invitation there. Unfortunately, answer came there none. And so we still wait eagerly to hear from the fathers. What we did decide quite definitely was that we weren't going to bully them into doing the washing up and chase them and say, come on,
you have to do this.
Yeah. It has to come from them. And so if there are any fathers out there who are interested in starting up such an initiative for parenting fathers in the arts, we would really like to talk to you.
What could you call it? Dad's artist directors.
I was thinking of dad artists.
Perfect. I like that. So would you say that this network has become, I suppose, a theatre company in some ways? Or like, are you making work together? I know that you had something on recently, the Mike Nights in Smock Alley. Mm-hmm.
Yes, our man behind the mic is a fundraiser, really. And it's an opportunity to have women have pathways back to practice. So there's a lot of small pieces that are put together. We decided as an organization that we did not want to become a producing body for several reasons. One is, first of all, there's the funding, which would be quite a challenge. Also, we didn't want to be hierarchical. We didn't want to be in the position of having to judge who is better and who is worse, as you would have to do in a production. You have to say, you're cast, you're not cast.
That's not what it's
this
about.
Is the writing, this is not the writing. As opposed to more egalitarian, we sort of say, we are all artists, we are all finding our ways in our own levels, and we are supporting each other individually. And sometimes we create work together, mostly as a fundraiser, though.
Okay, yeah.
There's a great sense of autonomy about what Kathleen is talking about here and the way that MAM organises in terms of we're all coming as individuals with similar needs, and we can offer each other support to make our own work. You know, we can offer each other whatever we can by way of support, but that each person comes along with their own practice, which we help to nurture through things like our playground practice, which is a series of workshops that we've done twice now, which is where an opportunity, it's funded by the Fringe Lab, which is a really great support, and we have found them to be very sympathetic to our needs and incredibly encouraging. where we can, the facilitators and teachers among us can offer workshops in their speciality practice. We can all come, we can have a morning maintenance classes, you know, so it'll run for 2 weeks every morning. So we can really build up the practice there, and we can broaden then the variety, of ways into our own practice.
So it also encourages the discipline.
Well, yes, I mean, it is a practice. Art is a practice, you know, and it's a vocation. And as well as reigniting, you know, the skills and abilities, we're also, it's the passion and the confidence and the courage to actually really stand in front of your peers, which is what the man behind the mic is also for everyone. It's a bit of a deadline, you know, it's a bit of a kick in the bum to, you know, do the thing. And then we've got another evening, the salons, which are the last Friday of every month, and that's run by two of the members, and it's where people can go and it's more social, bring a bottle of wine, bring a few, you know, a few nibbles, and show each other the work in progress. So it's very salon culture, and it's really community oriented, and it's really, you know, people bring their kids, you know, it's not too late at night, people can bring their kids. We sit around, we talk about what we're working on, we show what we're working on. The quality, I have to say, of the work is outstanding, because you're talking about professional performers who just had families, which is what separated them from their practice. So the quality of these nights is amazing, you know, and we really, really encourage all of our members to come along, show us what you're working on, even if it's just an idea.
Where can people get more information on how to join the group?
Well, and I was just going to say, in addition to what Regan was saying, that it's important to say that we are born out of theatre and the Waking the Feminist movement, but now we really are open to all the creative industries. So we do have members who are journalists, such as yourself, who are theatre makers, who are filmmakers, who are writers, who are visual artists, and that at the salons, you know, people are reading bits of writing. It's not just all performance. Yeah. At our recent Man Behind the Mic, we had an illustrator demonstrating some of her work. We have dancers. So it's really open to everyone, and we're trying to be as open as possible to facilitate everyone in that. So if you're interested in joining us, and we hope you are, then you can look us up on Facebook. We have a closed Facebook group and a public page. You can join us if you're a mother and you're involved in the arts, have been or are presently a professional working in the arts, and that is on Mothers Artist Makers on Facebook. So during school term time, MAM has weekly meetings on Tuesday mornings between 10 and 12, and these sometimes are in cafes or in theatres, so you can re-engage with the buildings of your industry. MAM is a member of the Theatre Forum and the National Women's Council of Ireland, and we are continuing our dialogue with them and making sure things change there. And we're also really interested this year in starting a conversation with the Arts Council about funding, and about the possibility of introducing funding for re-emerging artists as well as emerging artists.
Aveen Finnegan talking to members of the Mothers Artists Makers group this week.
News Talk 106 to 108.